Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Imports, domestics, and microbrews. And, I mean, really, the best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, wine coolers. Oh, yeah. Great wine coolers. Great selection there as well. And snacks, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is second to none. Outstanding. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record today. Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice, Temple today. Also, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And my brother today. Plenty of high school football coming up tonight. The game you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK beginning at 6:30 this evening. Schickel will be playing at Sealands Grove. You can also hear the Sealands Grove broadcast on Eagle 107 beginning at 6. And the Milton will be back in action tonight. Lewisburg back in action. Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. And, of course, on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP, you'll hear Milton this evening. So there's a lot going on. Sean Carey with the complete scoreboard on Eagle 107 tonight.
You betcha. I'm still hung up on one game in our picks segment in an hour and a half. I'm still trying to. I may have to get the dartboard and just take a stab at a team.
I will freely admit I put no thought into it.
I'm a complete 180 on that. So I did a little bit of homework last night while watching Jets-Bills.
No, I've done none. So whatever I do is whatever happens at the moment. So
you're a fluid, organic kind of guy.
No, I've been a little busy this week.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
So at some point, you know, it's like, not much has fallen through the cracks. I'll freely admit the prediction segment fell through the cracks. I mean, I don't even know what games we picked. So you'll have to just guide me along as we go.
And, can do.
And we'll find out. I'll just pick them by colors of teams, you know, jersey colors, things like that. We'll just go from there. That should be terrific. Looking forward to it very much.
There's a lot of administrative professionals when they fill out the old March Madness pool and they go by colors and nicknames.
And win the pool.
Right.
And you did this how? Oh, I love the color blue. So I picked Kentucky and Duke. Really? That's amazing. That's amazing I did that. Meanwhile, I'm trying to think my way through of how many three-pointers per game each team has and things like that. You're out there picking them by unis. Okay, great. Okay. I hope you enjoyed our series this week with some of the great players in the past. The 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game.
I've now listened to the Mike Reed interview 4 times now.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Instant classic.
Did it change?
For some reason, it got better the more I listened to it.
Obviously, you edited me out.
No, I was not near editing, not here on the board near any editing equipment whatsoever. I don't have an editing app on my phone, believe it or not.
Yeah, and by the way, in our business, We'll pay tribute quickly to Fran Fischer. Yesterday was his, tomorrow will be the 50th anniversary of his first game of the Penn State Sports Network as well, because his first game was Joe's first game. So we pay tribute to Fran. And Fran was not the play-by-play guy. Tom Bender was. Fran did not become the play-by-play guy till 1970. And I understand that road completely, because that's the same road I took as the third and sometimes second guy. And, yeah. So we just want to at least mention that to you, that a lot, you know, just as an addition to all the festivities. There'll be about 500 Lettermen here tonight for the get-together. And we're looking forward to seeing many of them. It'll be great. And, we've over 500.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it really is.
How many people won't try to crash that tonight? I'll be honest with you. Raj and I were having lunch dates. Oh, man, how'd you love to be at that soiree tonight? So, absolutely.
Well, I am, so.
You are. Got some envy people down this way. It's going to be phenomenal. Hopefully we'll get a great report from you on Monday about all,
yeah.
All the.
Yeah. So that's great.
I tried to find out from Mike Reed what song he was going to be performing tonight. He didn't spill the beans on that, but.
Well, I'll let you know.
I know you will.
I know you'll want me to tweet it. And whatever.
No. I don't expect you to tweet or Periscope Live. But hey, Periscope Live, your first Periscope Live video from Medlar Field at Lebrano Park tonight, that'd be cool. There's lots of people here in this building that set up that Periscope account for you, but I'm too smart. I wouldn't ask in. I wouldn't expect that. So
I'm just going to go and enjoy myself. And
you
move,
deserve it. Absolutely.
You know, and go to the next thing. But yeah, Jack and I are going to go over together, you know, and hang for a little bit. And then, you know, I mean, we have to go to work tomorrow. So, but it's a great night. It's really great. They put it together. You know, obviously, it'll be roundly criticized. We all know that. But you know what? I always have a saying, and I've always lived by this saying. I try to do things in such a way where I put myself into somebody else's shoes for a minute to help me give perspective. So that's how I try to approach things. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hope you enjoyed it this week. Randy Sidler, Neil Smith, Steve Smear, Greg Garrity Sr., Mike Reed, Ted Qualick, all part of it this week, and we thank them for the time they gave us this week. It all came together perfectly, and Sean did an incredible job of setting all of it up. That was all his baby. After that, they just had to turn on the microphone, and I talked. So in the end, he's the one that deserves all the credit in the world for making that happen. We enjoyed it very much, talking to all of them and reminiscing on the show this week. The game is tomorrow. We do have to at some point start talking about the game. We did a little bit with Mark Narducci of of the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday. We will do more today with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football, and also with Frank Bourdain, New York Daily Record. Then my brother's on. I mean, you know, it's Friday. It's time for a little family reunion. Plus, I have to ask him a favor. So, oh god,
that should be interesting.
Oh no, no, that's to do with my wife.
Okay,
she's long and short of it is simple that they have sold my mother-in-law's house. Unfortunately, she's had to go to a nursing home. And there are a couple items that she needs him to get out of there. And stick in his garage.
He's closer.
He's 1 mile away.
That's right.
He's only a mile away. I mean, it's 1 mile. So not that far. That's how close we grew up. So, well, I'm not going to do that. No, you'll do it in a heartbeat. It's one thing about my brother. He's got a huge heart, and that's how he got hurt a couple of years ago. Guy was in a snowbank, and my brother, huge heart, pulls over and tries to push this guy out, and of course he slipped on a rock or mud or something, or on the snow, and banged his knee hard, and he got a pretty bad blood clot in his leg. For, believe it or not, 2 years later, it's still an issue. I mean, it's because he has such a huge heart. I mean, nobody has a bigger heart than he does. So, and, don't tell him I said that. You know, he just thinks I'm the mean older brother. So, hey, a Periscope. I checked out something on Periscope on Sunday. And it was this guy leaning back with his mouth wide open about Bucknell football. What was that about?
Mm. Everything you need to know leading up to the Duquesne game in 90 seconds or less.
Yeah, but it looked like a largemouth bass. It's like I almost called Joe Humphries and said, "We got a live one. let's go for it. Get the fly fishing gear. We're going out. They're prime." Tell him not to do that again.
I'll see what I can do.
Because he'll Okay. Greg Roman got fired today as the offensive coordinator for the Bills after the Bills lost 37-31 last night to the Jets. Now, in that game offensively, the Bills did struggle. They scored 31 points, but they were able to get a lot of big plays. They only got into the red zone once. And that was with a minute and 17 to go. Mike Gillis, he scored. It's the only red zone trip they made all night, but they scored 31 points. Conversely, the Bills gave up last night better than 450 yards in offense to the Jets. 37 points. There were two 100-yard receivers for the Jets, another with 92, a 100-yard rusher last night. And Ryan Fitzpatrick had a huge night. But they fired the offensive coordinator. This is the equivalent of the great Jerry Tarkanian line when he said the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky basketball, they're going to put Wichita State on probation. Rex is so mad at his brother Rob about how the defense played last night. I'm going to fire the offensive coordinator. It's about what it is. Now, former Nittany Lion Danton Lynn, his dad Anthony Lynn, is now going to take over as the offensive coordinator of the Bills. I don't know. Now, I know Greg Roman a little bit, and I like Greg Roman. No one is confusing Tyrod Taylor with Tom Brady. Okay? Now, Tyrod Taylor is not the worst quarterback in the league, but he's not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league either. Wow. I saw that today and I thought, you got to be kidding me. You give up 450 yards plus 37 points. You can't stop them all night long. I mean, you can't stop them at all. And you're mad at him?
Yeah, the Greg Roman story just broke a little over an hour ago. It was a very sloppy start last night. I was thinking, oh, geez, this is going to be an unwatchable game. I was surprised they put that many points up on the board. And sure, I didn't expect Matt Forte to get three touchdowns, but he really fits their offense pretty good.
Yeah, he's fine. He got 100 yards last night. They had 100-yard receivers, a 100-yard rusher. Yeah, and you could say that the Bills didn't sustain drives and the defense had to go out and hit a log a lot of minutes last night. You know, the defense can end its minutes played by three and outs, too, you know. You know, you can do that. you know, it is possible. It's always low. The offense doesn't help them a lot because they aren't getting enough first downs with the clock. Yeah, but, you know, you can, as a defense, still get three and out yourself. I mean, you can do that. If Rob Ryan were the offensive coordinator, he'd have fired the defensive coordinator. I'm telling you, that's bizarre. But that's what they have elected to do.
Rob Ryan on the sideline last night reminded me that I needed a haircut real bad, so I got that taken care of this morning.
And I want to say that to the radio audience out there, you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
Radio, it's like, I can't see him. Never. Exactly. Exactly.
It never gets old.
That's exactly right. So, tonight, Shikellamy Sealands Grove. That should be a good game. Looking forward to that. And also tonight, Milton's in action. Lewisburg's in action. It's Milton and Danville. So, for those of you who would like to seek out the suit, he will be in Milton tonight. A little autograph table near the Halushki table. And that way, how much of a basket case is the suit during the game?
I think his wife probably is to the point where, boy, I wish you were back to calling games. Which should not surprise you at all. And me either.
No, but Filazzo's done a great job, so what are we going to do with him?
I know. I'm with you.
Yeah. So just stop by, see the suit, ask him how Wally Pipp's doing, and go from there.
Yeah. He may be jonesing to, you know, no pun intended, to call a quarter with Steve and Brett tonight on WMLP. So I wouldn't put it past him. You know, just kind of, you know, shake the rust off. In case, again, I'm going to make a call to the bullpen, you know.
No, I think they're all set, too. They sound good.
I think so, too.
They're all set. I don't, you know, I mean, you know, no offense. There are no openings currently at the inn. I think I'll go into take a sabbatical. I'm ready to come back now. I'm sorry. There are no openings at the inn. All right, coming up next half hour, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for your tailgate tonight. If you're tailgating at Bucknell, you're tailgating at Penn State, stock up tonight. Wine coolers, water, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Snacks. And the pickle bar is second to none. It is one-stop shopping. It's a place I know I go to. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Frank Bonanni, York Daily Record in a few moments. Still to come as well. Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice of Temple football and predictions in the final half hour with the sage from the East. This day in sports history, 1924, Jim Bottomley knocked in 12 runs in a single game, setting a Major League Baseball record. 1953, the St. Louis Browns of the American League were given permission to move to Baltimore, where they became the Orioles. 1965, Dave Moorhead of the Red Sox threw a no-hitter. 1988, Tom Browning topped that with the 12th perfect game in Major League history. And in 2004, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman imposed a lockout due to an impasse in contract negotiations. The players' union and NHL officials did not meet again until December 9th. Explain to me how much sense that made. We'll lock out. We're not going to talk for 3 months. Okay. Frank Bonanni, York Daily Record, now joins us. Frank, as always, it is great to hear you on the other end. Through two games, as you watch Penn State, pros and cons that you see on this football team to this point?
I think the offense is going, I think, pretty much as I expected from what you heard for 6 months. I mean, it's hard to know exactly because you've been, everybody's talked about this more for the off season than pretty much anything else I think I've heard in the past 20 years leading up to the season. But I think it's going good. I think Trace McSorley was reminiscent. He seemed like he picked up right where he left off in the Taxpayer Bowl. He's going to make mistakes. I think people understand that, or they should. He's going to learn each week. Seems like he's right on pace. Defensively, I guess I kind of hoped that you would see, for, you know, for fans' sake, that the linebackers would stay healthy, number one, which they haven't, and that maybe it would be Manny Bowen and Jake Cooper's time right now to step up and be one of those impact guys, playmaker guys right away. Maybe that's going to happen this week or next week. But I think they need that to happen because I'm not sure when Jason Kabinda's coming back.
Right, exactly. The defensive tackles did a great job setting up the linebackers each of the last 2 years for obvious reasons. The guys they have playing defensive tackle were off the charts talented, and now they're playing in the National Football League. How have you felt about the defensive tackle play so far?
Well, it seemed like Pitt just blocked them single blocked them completely out of the picture at times. But I think that's hard because I know Pitt's strength is their offensive line, one, because I think the guys are pretty good, two, because I think they're pretty experienced. So I'm not sure that's the best judge. No one seemingly stood out to me there last week.
Right.
You're hoping they have enough guys to try that as we go on here, I mean, guys that have reputations, too, that as we go on the next 2-3 weeks, they just need to, I think some of the things we're talking about, they kind of need to have it happen sooner than later, I guess.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean when you look at that. You mentioned McSorley in your initial answer, Frank. He's not the prototypical in terms of size that you see a quarterback, a little bit shorter. But what is it about him instinctively that you see that allows him to be a good quarterback in this system?
My first thought is he just has the feel for the game and the position. It's natural. It probably doesn't have to think about it. He reminds me, he's not the same type of quarterback that Zach Mills was, but instinctually with the feel for the game, he reminds me of Zach Mills because Zach wasn't a physical specimen by any means.
Absolutely.
But as soon as he got in there within 2-3 weeks, I mean, he was making plays. You don't have to have the strong. I think we're Penn State fans are now understanding, you know, obviously, or being reminded, you don't have to have the strongest arm, the tallest frame, the biggest body to be a good player at that position.
And, you know, you look at short to medium range. What do you think of a short to medium range pass game with him?
It seems, I mean, I think he's shown the tax layer bowl. He has some zip on his passes that are 10, 15 yards out. I mean, I was on the field for the last pass to DeAndre Tompkins, but from my vantage point, that was a nice throw. Well, actually, both his throws to Tompkins were great. I don't think he has an issue with that. The first game, I think he put a little too much air under some of his long passes, and people were going bananas about him not having arm strength. But I'm not, I mean, I'm no expert on playing quarterback, but I'm thinking, well, maybe that's not necessarily that he doesn't have the arm to do it. Maybe that's just an adjustment in how he's throwing football. I don't know. I think for the college game, my first reaction is he has plenty of arm. I mean, you're comparing him against Hackenberg or Anthony Morelli, but I don't think you need Hackenberg or Anthony Morelli's arm to be successful at that level.
And not in this offense. I mean, you know, it's great to have that kind of arm, but in this offense, you also have the element of the ability to read, and also the ability to react off that option play, that run pass option everybody talks about. And that's not how Morelli and Hackenberg would play. Neither one would do well in this offense because that's not how they play.
Right. No, decision making. So he's got to be a great, quick decision maker. And I think he's going to get better at that. But I think he's already, in a very small sample size, I think he's impressed with that capacity. And he's not going to be the strong type of runner at that position like Michael Robinson would have been. So he's going to have to probably do even better at making quick, decisive moves because he's not a powerful runner.
Your thoughts on how Tompkins stepped in last week because they did not have Saeed Blacknell?
You know, I think it was a real big positive because I think some of the things Penn State fans were hoping to see in that game, maybe they were disappointed in to some degree. That was one thing they may not have expected, that they would have been pleasantly surprised, because you heard a lot about Tompkins when he came, but I don't know, just for me, I was hearing more and thinking more of him as, wow, he's going to be a guy, playmaker in space and a punt returner.
Right.
Well, he showed us the last 2 weeks that he can be, a pretty good receiver for his size. And again, I think it's another thing where people may overlook him because he's not the typical size maybe that you'd want to see as a receiver. But again, it really doesn't matter. Kind of like Trace, a quarterback. At that level, you catch the ball. I don't think it matters necessarily if you're another 4 inches taller all the time.
Right. What are your thoughts on this matchup with Temple, Frank? After the game last week and the fact that next week's the conference opener, I know the next game's always the most important game. We've got that. But it's after a loss and the conference starts next week. Does that then ratchet up the importance of this game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think sometimes I might be a little positive in my thinking. Yeah, thinking things are going to work out better than sometimes they do for the team you cover.
Sure.
Right? But I think it's very important. And the reason I brought that up is I'm thinking that Penn State has an advantage here because Temple's really banked up.
Yeah.
One, they're still they're a good team. They're certainly better than Temple teams had been in years past. But I don't think they have quite that little extra that they had last year. They have a couple guys that are gone from the defense that were leaders. They still are athletic and have ability and a little swagger, but I mean, their top running back, we don't know if he's going to play. He hasn't played yet. They're missing a receiver. Their quarterback is good, but he's also shown the ability to make a lot of turnovers. I mean, so Walker's good, but he can also turn the ball over. So if you force him to throw the ball like they did 2 years ago, I think they'll be all right.
They've talked about this being a commemoration. That's the word that has been used, but they haven't said what it is yet. Now, we've talked about the game and this team and the importance for them. What about that added element?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure what that means to the kids because
it means anything to them, really.
Right. So I'm not sure it's going to affect them much of any way, shape, or form. It's almost more of a thing for fans, Letterman, media, the people around the country,
right,
more than it is the 19-year-old kids. I mean, I don't think there's going to be that many more or less people in the stadium than usual. I just don't know if it really resonates that it's going to have any impact on them.
I mean,
but it is an interesting backdrop to the game, obviously. I mean, it's it's a lot of stuff to talk about, and from all different views. I mean, you saw it this week. You have
sure.
people supporting it, people completely against it. It's interesting from my perspective to see people's just their different views on this, on the exact same thing.
Have you thought about how you want to cover it, or is it something somebody else will cover or talk about?
Well, I have a story today where I wrote about the Letterman, kind of what it means to them to come back, why they're doing this.
Yeah.
We're not going to be there tomorrow night, partially because of the timing, but I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of media availability to begin with. It's a private event, and that's fine. But we're going to try to track down, you know, Letterman before the game and write about it from their perspective. You know, what was it like last night? What, you know, what's this mean to you? And that type of thing. And I'm sure I'll be interested to see what the university does, because I'm sure that'll be kind of playing to the story of the day. You know, you can't help it. It's going to be more than about just football
right.
on the field Saturday.
Right. And then finally, on the field itself, what are a couple things that, you know, you think are swing elements in the game Saturday?
Protecting Trace enough. They didn't do that in the beginning of the Pitt game. They did do that as the game wore on, picking up the pressure. I mean, Temple still has some pretty good rushers, so I'm looking at, you know, Brendan Mann and the guys on the line, giving Trace enough time. Getting Chris Godwin the ball in space where he can do something. He's averaging, I think, less than 10 yards a catch. So is this the day he breaks out? And if he does, then you would think that they stretch the field, that Saquon Barkley finally has room. And everything I mentioned on offense, because I'm thinking that almost in a sense, my expectations are a little lowered defensively. And if they do those things I mentioned on offense, honestly, I don't know how much it'll matter what they do defensively. This offense has a lot of potential. We haven't seen, I don't think, maybe half of it yet.
Frank, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the perspective. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Yeah, have a great one till then, Steve.
Frank Bodani, your Daily Record. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for your tailgate right now. I don't care if you're going to Bucknell or if you're going to Penn State. Stock up for the tailgate. We'll come back with more in a moment. Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice of Temple, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Did you hear that highlight? Simple, no embellishment. Mike does a great job. Remember the old days when it was touchdown, Shake-O-Lemmy? And then by the time he was done with it, there were three plays into the next drive.
And Horty would give him that look. It's like, you don't want that look from Coach.
Yeah, now, I guess at Danville they signed a petition. Take him back.
He claims he's not going to be joining the boys in the booth tonight for Milton Danville on WMLP. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So I thought, too.
Stripe out tomorrow. It'll tell you on your ticket whether you're blue or white. It does tell you on your ticket. So Ron Moeller naturally texts me. He says, what are we wearing in the booth? I'm like, look around like, I don't know. Do we count? I said, I'm wearing a blue shirt tomorrow. I don't think I've worn a blue shirt all year. I'm going to wear a blue shirt tomorrow. So if it happens to match the section, so be it. Nobody told me. Last year, the funny thing is they did the stripe out for Rutgers last year. And I think I wore a blue shirt. Jack wore a white shirt. And I said, see, we're our own stripe out up here. I don't know. What's neat is the people do get into it. I think that's neat. People do get into it, and they're really conscientious as to what they're supposed to wear, and it works.
Yeah, and the great thing is you got the website set up where you can punch in your ticket and find out. Then you're absolutely sure what you're going to wear for your section.
Yeah, and it's on your ticket, too.
Yep.
It actually says it on the ticket, wear white, wear blue. So I don't know what to wear. Okay, do you have your tickets? Yes, it's on your ticket. So they'll tell you it's cool. All right. Well, let's look here and let's. So you say it's on the chart, huh? See, I don't look at this stuff. Was it on gopsusports.com?
Right.
So we go to, let's see, gopsusports.com. We go to FitBow. Let's see, together we stripe.
You go to PennStateStripeout.com.
Blue or white.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what section we are, so I'm going to have to look at the chart.
I was going to ask you, the section that's right below you and Jack, because you sit right around, what, the 20-ish?
No, we're around the 40.
40.
Yeah, we're actually around the 40. Jeez, I don't even... I look up and I know where we are, but I don't... We're at the 40 more toward the north end. How about that? So do you see where that is? I don't know. We have lots of pictures of RVs here and things like that. Let me see here.
So 40-yard line, you're like between section WE and WF.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sure. So what does it say?
So WE, blue.
Yeah. Okay. What's
obviously,
WF?
Obviously WF, then yeah, I think it would be white.
White.
Then. Yeah. Yeah.
So blue. WE, WF. Okay.
Yep. WE, blue.
Is there a chart?
WF, white. Now you just type in... On PennStateStripeout.com, you just type in your section number, what section you're in, WF. Oh, well.
Yeah, but I don't know what section we're in. I'm in room 210, 209. That's right. I'm in room 209. I don't know. I don't look down.
Well, I'm looking at the 40-yard line, and it's right between, like, WE, WF. So you're kind of, like, right in the middle if you're sitting, like, right on the 40 on the west side.
Oh, you know darn well there'll be people down below saying, hey, you got the wrong shirt on. I'm like, hey, look, I don't know. The heck?
That's when you pretend you're striking up a conversation with Jack during the timeout.
Oh, I mean, you know what? Every once in a while, this does bother me because we are obviously exposed. And this does bother me. Every once in a while, if something's not going right, people will turn around and start to say something to us in the booth. We're on the air. I mean, I can't have a conversation with you. I'm not trying to be rude here, but I mean, I can't. Oh, you know, hey, what was that, Bob? What'd you want? I can't. Everybody, the whole world hears. You know, there's some guy driving in a car listening on Sirius XM in Texas saying, who's Bob? But they'll turn around, they'll want to say something to us. I'm like, we're sort of not trying to be rude here. We're a little bit engaged in something right now. Oh, well. So I, you know, if we wear the wrong color, I'm sure somebody up there will wear white. I'll have blue on. So somebody will be right. How about that?
50-50 shot.
Absolutely. I didn't think we counted. When they take the overhead shot in the stadium, you can't see us. But I'm wearing a blue shirt tomorrow. So that I do know. Why? Because I wore white shirts to each of the first two games. I thought I'll wear a blue one this week. I'm not like Kevin. I don't have it scripted out for the year as to what I do. I just got to go, hey, let's go with this. This looks fine. Harry Donahue. He'll be wearing cherry and white tomorrow. He's the Temple play-by-play voice. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.